Lord, thank you once again for the Sabbath. Thank you for this time that we can come to study once again together as well. And thank you, Lord, for sustaining each and every one of us. As we're about to open your word, I pray that you'd guide us through those words. Speak to our hearts, O Lord, and also pray that you'd please continue to sustain this connection so that we can study and worship together online, together here in unity as well. So lead us now, we pray, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 41. Jesus at this time, he's still a young boy. He is 12 years old, and he's gone up to Jerusalem with his parents, Joseph and Mary. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 41. Let's turn our Bibles there, shall we? Luke 2:41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, speaking about Jesus, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, whom was born to Mary, not Joseph, but Mary, as a miracle birth, a miracle child, notified and instructed by the angel that clearly this was the Son of God. If anybody in the whole wide world as parents needed to be careful, it would have been Joseph and Mary. How could it have been possible for them to lose the Son of God, their only son, their baby child, well, not quite a baby, but their little child, and lose him for one whole day? Can you believe that? For one day, they were looking for him. They went a day's journey, and only then they started looking for Jesus and could not find him. And friends, what they lost in one day, it took them 3 days to recover. Do you realize that? They went a day's journey, but it took them 3 days to find Jesus. Three agonizing days. And friends, it is possible that we, when we don't spend that one day with Jesus, that one day that we're separated from him, that one day that sin captivates us and captures us, and sometimes even for us it's even longer than that, but one day was all it took, and yet 3 days of agony, of searching with tears and bitterness and remorse and prayers, 3 days it took them to come back to find Jesus. Friends, do you see that word there in verse 44? But they, supposing, that word suppose means to assume, to speculate, to guess. And you know, friends, sometimes we can think that Jesus is with us when he really isn't. It's possible that there are those who think that Christ is present when in actual fact, he is absent. And it takes a heart searching. It takes carefulness to make sure that we don't assume, that we're not presumptuous, that we don't speculate or guess, for our relationship with Jesus Christ should not be left to guesswork. But I have news for you, friends. I'm not just talking to lay members, to church members, that people are just coming once a week to church. I even speak to those that are preachers like myself. Look at what the Pen of Inspiration says. In Testimonies for the Church, Volume 1, page 434, paragraph 1, Ellen White writes, "The reason why our preachers accomplish so little is that they do not walk with God. And look at this. Listen to this. He is a day's journey from most of them. The more closely you watch your own heart, the more watchful and guarded you will be, lest by your words or acts you dishonor the truth, give occasion for the tongue of slander to follow you and the truth, and cause souls to be lost through your neglect of what? Self-examination, of heart study, and of vital godliness. The holy deportment of the minister of Christ should be a rebuke to vain, frothy professors. The beams of truth and holiness shining from your serious, heavenly conversation will convict others and lead them to the truth. And those around you will be compelled to say, God is with this man, of a truth. It is the carelessness, the looseness of professed ministers of Christ that gives them so little influence. There are many professors, but there are few praying men. If our preachers were men who prayed more in secret, who carried their preaching into practice in their families, who ruled their houses with dignity and gravity, their light would indeed shine to those around them. And so this evening, friends, I'm not just talking about lay members. I even am speaking to myself as a preacher. For there are many preachers who are a day's journey from Jesus. And she tells us that we got to be watchful. She tells us that we got to be guarded. She tells us that we got to examine ourselves to make sure that we're not assumptuous, that we're not presumptuous. We're not assuming that Christ is naturally with us. Friends, we got to check our hearts every day. And she says what? We got to pray more. For if we would pray more in secret, then the outward life would show even to the whole world that Christ is truly with us. We could have more courage and boldness to present our prayers before Christ. So there are those, friends, that think that Christ is present when in actual fact, he's absent. He's a day's journey from many of them. Friends, even before we finish the Sabbath tonight, this evening, can you have confidence to say in your heart with me that Christ has been with you, that he's been in all your conversations throughout this day, that he's with you in the secret conversations that you have between husband and wife, that he's with you in your interactions with your friends? He's there at the family table as you eat with your mother and your father. Is he there in your associations throughout this past week, in your studies or in your work? Can you have confidence to know through the fruits of your life that Christ is with you? We got to be careful that we don't assume, to suppose that he is with us, because that one day of separation can cause 3 days of crying and tears and agony. Friends, it only takes one small sin to separate us from Christ and cause a big gulf to be set between us. Mistaken suppositions. But now I want you to turn to me in your Bibles to another story. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, starting in verse 11. We got to be so careful that we don't assume automatically that just because we went to church, just because we listened to a sermon, that Christ is with us. For the Bible says that what the ways of man seems right in our own eyes, but those ways are ways of death. We need to examine very closely. Matthew chapter 20, and we're starting in verse 11. Matthew 20 and verse 11. The Bible says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping as she went. She stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, and one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, but she didn't know that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be what? The gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Friends, this was Mary, the one who washed the feet of Jesus with her tears and with that precious ointment, the one that stood at the cross, weeping and looking at his nail-pierced hands and feet. Jesus, her master and her savior. And yet when she came to the tomb looking for his body and did not find it, she thought that someone had taken away her master's body. She wanted to pay one last respect to her master, those feet and those hands that had ministered unto her in her time of need. And yet when she came, she was sadly disappointed. And turning around, she thought she saw what? The gardener. And she had this conversation with the gardener, asking, please, if you've taken the body, give it back to me. Supposing, assuming, presuming that that was not Jesus, but the gardener. But when Jesus called out her name, Mary, she recognized that voice in an instant. And she responded, Master. Friends, there are those that have been beaten down maybe this past week. You've gone through a tough week. And you've supposed, God, where are you? You know, this morning I've been reading in the book of Job. I just started that book and Job's gone through a lot. Lost his children, lost all his wealth, lost his health. And now his three friends come and saying, Job, what have you done? We thought you were a righteous man. We thought you were a good man. God does not treat righteous people like this. Only sinners receive the wrath of God. What have you done, Job? And maybe you're going through like that, and you have the mindset of Job's friends. Something bad has happened, and you must have done something wrong. And maybe even people are coming up to you and saying, Ben, what did you do? What did you do? And maybe you have these thoughts that are plaguing you even this evening. Life seems to be going downhill. And what have you done? Friends, this is where self-examination becomes really important, to see whether conscience approves or condemns. And if you have an innocent conscience by the grace of God, then you can still have confidence that Jesus is with you. Because there are some who think that Christ is absent, when in actual fact, he is present. Oh, dear friends, you know the story about the footprints in the sand. And it seems like those toughest times, you know, there's two sets of footprints, and then all of a sudden it becomes one set of footprints. And the person that's walking with Jesus realizes that it becomes one set of footprints when the times are toughest. Where were you, Lord? Where'd you go? And Jesus responds, what? It was in those times that I carried you. Friends, there are some who think that Christ is absent, when in actual fact, he's right there beside you. He was right there beside Jesus to strengthen him to drink that cup of wrath for you and me. He was right there with Job as he suffered great intensity of pain and in the mind and in the conscience and even in the body. But he was right there. And he's right there through your trials, through your sufferings, through your pains. And sometimes, you know, as we, like Jonah, we run from God and we bring the trouble upon us. In our disobedience, we sin. But yet when we turn to God, God can calm the storm. He can bring peace into your life. And not only that, he can make you a witness, as Jonah, who was thrown overboard, saw straight away, those sailors saw the peace that came upon the sea, and they offered sacrifices to the true God in heaven. Friends, if you've confessed of all your known sins, if you've made the wrongs right to the very best of your ability, and you've asked God to pardon you and to wash you with His blood, you can have confidence that even though you might not feel it, that you can have confidence that Jesus is right there with you. There are many who suppose that Christ is absent, when in actual fact, He's present. You know, Matthew 28, verse 20, the Great Commission, when He says, I want you to teach them to observe whatever I've commanded you, and lo, He says, I am with you always, even unto the end. When Peter or Paul would end up in prison and they would be singing praise to God, God was right there with him. When Peter was crucified upside down, He was right there with him. When Stephen was stoned, God was looking down from heaven and gave Stephen a vision of heaven. Friends, through the thick and the thin, through the trials, through the ups, but especially the downs, you got to remember that God, He's right there. If we learn to walk with Him through the sunshine and the rain, we have nothing to fear. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let's turn the Bibles there. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. What a wonderful promise we see here. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Do you know what the word conversation means? It's conduct. Let our life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, there's a condition to this promise, friends. If we order our lives according to His will, if our conversation is without covetousness, then we can know for a certainty, especially in the times of the storms and the hail and the fire and all the things that seem to bring trouble and distress upon our hearts and our minds and especially our lives, we can know that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Two sides of the coin. Two people that have mistakenly supposed the wrong thing. One group thinking that Jesus is with them when in actual fact He's not. And then the other group thinks that Jesus is not with them when He's right there beside them. Friends, in this new week, let us make sure that Jesus is our companion. Let us make sure that He walks with us and talks with us. Let's make sure, not only that, that we hold on to Him and don't let go. Then we can have assurance. Then we can have confidence. But let us make sure to examine our hearts and lives. Let us be watchful unto prayer so that we don't mistakenly suppose that Jesus is with us when He isn't really. Friends, may Jesus walk beside you this coming week. But let us make sure of that fact ourselves, to make sure that we have the peace of heaven shining upon us today. There are some of you I know that are troubled out there. We are living in the last days. The Bible tells us that men's hearts will fail because of fear. We don't need to have that fear, because perfect love casts out fear. If Jesus Christ is right there beside us, He can turn us from a coward into a martyr, just like Peter. May God be with us and walk with us in this coming week. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I want to thank You for giving us these promises. And I want to thank You, Lord, that You've told us You will never leave us or forsake us. Only help us to make sure that our conduct, our conversation is born of heaven, that we are born again, that the angels will delight to commune with us, that the Holy Spirit would love to live in each of our homes and especially our hearts, and that, Lord, You would walk with us in this coming week. We want to surrender our lives to You again, Lord, that even as the Sabbath hours are about to close, that the decisions that we've made upon these Sabbath hours to to be more committed to you in this coming week, that, Lord, you would give us the strength to carry through with it. And so that when we meet again 7 days from now, 6 days from now, we can recount your goodness. We could be glad for the blessings that you've given to us. And more than anything else, to know that for this past week or this coming week, but when we look back, we can know and we can see your hand in every part of our lives. Lord, comfort those that are sorrowing this evening. Strengthen them. Lift them up. Give them hope and faith and peace and courage. And guide us, we pray, in this new week, continually with your Holy Spirit. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.